Welcome to Consensus, a podcast from Census Technologies.
What's going on, everyone? It's Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B, and welcome to another episode of the Consensus podcast. It's a pleasure to be here in the hot seat with the Census team as we continue to explore and lead with data in every episode. Thank you for joining us again. I'll go with the classic pointer to make sure that you are tapping into previous episodes as well as future conversations. Make sure that you're subscribing to the Consensus podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Again, that's CON and then CENSIS podcast. Again, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That way you can get notifications when we drop new episodes as well as catch up on previous conversations with Consensus team. You can also find more information about the podcast on our website, census.com. Again, CENSIS.com. All right, folks, per usual, we're tapping into some census team expertise to give you some tips, tricks, and best practices. Today, we're going to be pulling from some great client-facing experience, award-winning innovations, and unique perspectives on how data and intuition together can transform SPD, or sterile processing departments, with the end goal of outcomes, of course, right? Improving patient safety, operational efficiency, and team trust. If things are working smoothly, everyone wins, right? And today's guest, Beth Harry, has made a career out of connecting the dots, quite literally. She is a business intelligence and analytics engineer here at Census Technologies. And she brings a one-of-a-kind perspective to the world of SPD analytics, which we're going to get to dive into here today. And why is this perspective so engaging? Well, because she didn't just start in data, actually. Beth started in journalism, uncovering stories, making sense of chaos, working on a tight broadcast budget, which I'm familiar with and we're going to get a chance to hash out here on podcasts. Long before dashboards, long before these predictive models were her toolkit, right, she was working in these high-stakes environments. Now, over nearly two decades, she's become a trusted voice in translating numbers into meaningful action, earning her an innovation award along the way for her work on Census's analytics platform. So in this episode, we are going to explore how intuition and metrics work together to elevate sterile processing departments, again, SPD, again, with the goal of improving patient safety, operational efficiency, and that team trust. We're going to hear Beth's candid stories of helping clients embrace data and drive home success. We're going to hear her candid stories on demystifying those dashboards and using analytics to build stronger teams. So again, let's dive into some data-driven intuition here about turning numbers into actions in sterile processing departments. I'm pleased to welcome Beth Harry. Beth, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Thank you so very much for that wonderful intro, Daniel. I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely. So I have to start with an M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. Absolutely.
So I am also a Mizzou graduate, also a broadcast journalism graduate, which is awesome. Pretty awesome small world here that we're getting to the hashes out on the podcast.
Yep.
So I have to start with that journey, right? You spent 17 years working with data, but you were a Mizzou Tiger running through, did you do the old KOMU track and everything?
Yeah, I did. I did work at KOMU. I also worked at the ESPN radio channel in town for a time.
So you got your start in journalism, doing broadcast news media. Tell us a little bit about how that path ended up leading you to your work at Census. How do you go from local news reporting at good old KOMU to now where you're at with Census and helping drive operational efficiency, sterile process departments? Connect those dots for us.
Yeah, sure, Daniel. Well, so it really wasn't much of a straight line. But when I was a kid, so my dream was to do radio play-by-play sportscasting for Major League Baseball. And as I grew up, I guess I was always kind of fascinated with data, even then, because I loved following all the statistics tied to baseball, batting average, RBIs, ERA, in our local newspaper, and then also on ESPN SportsCenter, of course. But there is no college major for play-by-play. So I picked what I thought was the closest thing, which was broadcast journalism. And as you know, Missouri boasts the number one journalism school in the country, so really a no-brainer for me to go there as I'm based in St. Louis. And so yeah, it was a wonderful education. But sports casting is a difficult field to break into, and it doesn't have the best pay or hours, and there's a lot of travel. So I ended up taking a data entry position in logistics to just help pay some bills. And that grew into more of an analytics role with that company, and eventually brought me to Census. And now I just find it so fulfilling to be in a position where I have the opportunity to positively influence patient care at so many hospitals through the work that I do at Census.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty unique journey. I find that the broadcast news media environment benefits people in their careers regardless. Having to work through those tight deadlines, having to know how to sniff out a bad story, knowing how to even tell a story. And I mean, data nowadays is really all about storytelling, which, first, biggie folks who aren't data attuned, might sound rather foreign, but obviously we're on the Consensus podcast. The folks are going to know what I mean. Data's here to tell a story, and it's meant to be useful and practical. It's pretty cool knowing that we have folks in leadership like yourself driving these decisions and innovations with also that ear and that eye to storytelling. So I'm curious your thoughts here on what it is about data and storytelling that clicked for you. What was it that really caught your eye, got you interested in seeing, like, oh, I could take these KOMU skills and put them to work in a wholly different environment? Trace that for us.
Yeah, like as you were saying, like it is surprising to see just how many ways my journalism background has helped me throughout my career, just the ways that it's factored in. So, in journalism, when you get an assignment, there's a few key things that you're trying to do. So first, you want to get a really fundamental understanding of the issue that you're going to report on, because that's going to help you figure out the people that you need to talk to and the questions that you need to ask them. And then once you get those answers in journalism, you craft that into a story that communicates what's most important to your audience. And I look at data in much the same way. So if you think about it, data gets created as a result of things that people do in real life. And that means that like every database record represents a person, a trait, an action that they've taken. Things like that. And so when I query a database, I often think of it as a sort of interview. What can the data tell me about this process? Who are the most important people and the places and the things that are related to it? And so I kind of look at the records in the order that they happened, and that naturally starts to tell a story. And so when I look at a lot of those little stories, what I'm looking for is I'm trying to find patterns that help me understand the bigger picture. And then finally, I take those answers and I publish them in either a report or a dashboard to share with users. So it's amazing how similar kind of the process is when you're trying to put together a story for journalism versus when you're trying to summarize data in a way that people can understand what's going on and take action on it.
Something that I learned was key in journalism school, especially when, you're fielding, for example, stories from the community, right? Like you'll get a manila envelope with pitch, right? Now you've got to suss out, like, someone trying to use me right now for some kind of story. Like, what is this? Is this real? Is this a big scoop? I had that experience myself, and it's kind of fun. Intuition is key here, right? You have to be able to, on the fly, make judgment calls that could impact, people's lives, how a community sees major, changes in their community, or, right? Like, you don't want to ruin a career or something by accident just because the story feels good on paper. You got to have the right intuition. So, in data work, that intuition takes a slightly different form, but if you have it, it's a superpower, right? And it becomes incredibly useful. Translate that now to the SPD, the sterile processing department setting, right? How does having that kind of intuition, especially around data work, impact strategy, decision making in an SPD setting?
So, like I was saying when I talked about journalism and working with data, all the data in your tracking system for straw processing is really just a representation of the activity that's going on in your department all day, every day. And so if you think about a technician working in sterile processing day in, day out, the more experience they get, they naturally start to build that intuition about the way that things generally work. And what that means is that when a problem crops up, you might say, well, last time I remember something like this happened, this was the issue. And what that does is it gives you a really great place to start when you're looking at the data, because if it's the same issue as the last time, what you'll see is similar patterns in the data from when it happened the last time to what you see in the data right now. Because again, the data is just a reflection of what you're doing. And so having that intuition to be able to recognize those patterns, that's what is going to really help you verify your hypotheses and start designing countermeasures to change things for the better in your department.
So help us, feel that story, timing your storytelling skills here, a little bit more in practice. Share with us a time where that kind of gut instinct, that intuition, made a major impact in an SPD setting, maybe helping, spot something in data that others missed, right? Or knowing even where to look in the first place, or seeing the way that the data was presented as a story, but something felt a little off, you dig a little deeper. Paint a picture there for us.
Sure, yeah. While we were working on the Productivity AI Squared module, we were looking at one of our key metrics for assembly. And that metric was average seconds per instrument assembled. So what that's telling you is, how long does it take on average to put each individual instrument into a tray for assembly? And the longer it takes you to put each individual instrument in there, the longer it takes you to do those assemblies. And typically the lower your productivity is, right? So that's why it's an important metric to look at. And we had a pilot customer who had been extremely consistent on this metric for 3 months. And then all of a sudden, their time went much higher. It just skyrocketed. And it was taking significantly longer on average for them to assemble each instrument. And it had been at that higher value for probably 3 weeks. And it wasn't really coming down. So we took that data and we showed it to the SPD manager to see, is there anything you've changed in the process recently? What precipitated this shift, right, and the change? And he was really able to hit on the root cause very quickly. So we looked at, the charts showing, when it started and tried to drill into that a little bit. But, we narrowed down, this happened, really about the start of August. And it was like instantaneously, a light bulb went on and he's like, oh, that's when my students started. And so we used the dashboard we were working on, and we had a chart on there that was showing these times per person, and we filtered out those student times, and instantaneously it went back to the same metric value that we'd been seeing consistently for those months. So 100% of that increase in the time spent was for these students who were just starting to learn the process of, what instruments are these? What trays do they go in? How do I do this correctly? So naturally their time was going to be slower. But that, additional context that the SPD manager was able to provide was absolutely critical to understanding what the data was saying. And in that case, there's no countermeasure that you need to make to change your processes. You just need to understand, oh, wow, this has a huge impact. When I have students who come into my department, it's going to naturally slow down my overall productivity for a while.
So now, Beth, let's look at making sense of this data in a practical and concise fashion. Anyone in data knows a good dashboard can tell a good story. But also a bad dashboard can be real distracting and can sometimes get in the way more than maybe just thumbing through an Excel sheet. So you've built a lot of dashboards in your time in this space. You probably dug through a ton yourself, probably even KLMU, digging through some raw data to make a story. But again, you built plenty of dashboards used by SPD teams nationwide. You're an innovator in this front. And I'm curious, what do you think are the metrics that really make for a good one, right? That help people put their intuition to work, right? A representation of data that actually lets people do their job better, trust their instincts.
Yeah, so a lot actually depends on the dashboard's purpose. Because depending on what you're trying to do with that dashboard, that's going to really influence like the visuals that you select, the metrics that are going to make sense to people. So a lot of it really does depend on what your goal is in trying to build that dashboard. So there's no like magic formula for what is the perfect dashboard. Because you have to know not only your data, but your audience as well, and what can they interpret. So I would say that even though there's a lot that's dependent on what you're trying to do with that dashboard, there's two critical elements that I like to make sure are present in anything that I build. And the first is that your dashboard has to clearly communicate where you're at right now. You need to understand what your baseline is. You need to be able to look at that dashboard and say, how am I doing right now? And then the second piece of it is really you need to have visuals and metrics on there that will guide people to take appropriate action because, you can have all the pretty visuals in the world on a screen, but if nobody acts on them, then they're not really benefiting anyone. So you need to have enough tools built into those dashboards that people can get to an understanding of what should they do about this? How am I doing right now? How does that compare to where I want to be? And what do I need to do to move closer to that?
Now, I think it would be useful if you could give us a little context here on day-to-day use cases. So, what kind of data would an SPD team be looking at every single day, making decisions on every single day that guide their basic actions and also their long-term strategy, right? Go ahead and just give us that kind of context before we continue forward.
Sure. So, some of the key areas for analytics and SPD are really around productivity, because we need to, product, SPD is really about getting the OR what they need in order to do surgery cases. And then we also have quality, because if we give the OR as many trays as they want, but they're no good, then we're not really serving the OR at all. And also, of course, there's the critical issues of patient safety. You wouldn't want to provide trays to the OR that are going to endanger the patient. So we have productivity and quality. And then another major issue that many departments face is the issue of missing instruments. And if you think about it, at a large hospital, there are hundreds of surgeries that happen every day. And there are many instruments that are used within those surgeries. And so it, as instruments go missing, and the cost of everything has risen these days, so instruments are no exception to that. The cost of replacing those instruments goes up as well. And so any money that can be saved in not losing those instruments or not having to replace them, is money that's able to go more towards patient care. And so those are three of the critical areas that we looked at for the AI squared platform, starting with productivity, since that has always been a major consideration within straw processing departments, and then really diving into quality and then instrument analytics.
So with that context in mind now, once a sterile processing department team gets access to more of those analytics, or let's say their visual, their story around that and those analytics, excuse me, improve, right? Let's say they get an improved dashboard or they get access to better, more frequent data points. What are some concerns or maybe some surprises that clients experience when they first get that level of improved SPD analytics, right?
Yes.
Because, often useful tools to start can seem a bit overwhelming if you don't know exactly what you're looking at or how to even apply the data. So again, what are some of those common concerns or unexpected surprises clients face when they start using said analytics?
Yeah, I would say that overwhelming tendency is definitely something that can enter into the question there. I will say actually, one of the biggest surprises that I see people have is just how much data is missing when they first get these visual tools. Because in some areas, missing data is not that surprising to our customers. A lot of managers are aware that they don't have, for example, count sheets entered for every single set that they own. But others can be less expected, like staff not following established container assembly processes, you're missing scan points in certain areas, and dashboards are really great at calling attention to where there are gaps in the data because it's just visually not there. And so, you know, in a world that seems to be inundated with data these days, I would say that's pretty surprising when you realize you're not measuring everything that you thought you were measuring. So that's a pretty big surprise that clients experience.
Now, to give you a little shout out here, in 2022, you won an innovation award for your work on Census's analytics platform, which is a Census AI Squared. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you're saying that
perfect.
Right.
Perfect. All right. So Census AI Squared, right? Let's now take some of your practical guidance here and actually see it reflected in why you won said award, right? So tell us a little bit about the project and why it mattered so much, right? Like, why did it get this recognition? What do you think it reflected about best practices and improvements to SPD analytics?
Sure, yeah. I won a Disruptive Innovator Award from our parent company, Fortive, for our work on the initial release of the AI Squared platform, which was our productivity module. So up to this point, CensiTrac customers primarily relied on static reports to try and understand their productivity. And what's different about the AI Squared platform is that it gives managers so many visual tools that they can really dig deeply into their department's data and analyze pretty much every aspect of productivity from the 30,000 foot level all the way down to even the most minute detail. You know, with that, they get, you know, this amazing holistic view that they can look at for their productivity. And it also provides metrics that managers can use, not just to understand where they've been, like that's what reports do. They report essentially the news. This is what you've done in the past. But these dashboards can really start to help drive improvements throughout their entire organization so that departments can actually get more productive over time.
So now it's been, you know, 3 or so years since that award. What did you learn from launching that project, from disruptively innovating around the platform that you now carry forward with you and that you use to influence some of the best practices and tips that you've just been mentioning today?
Yeah, I would say the number one thing that I have learned from working on all the AI Squared modules is really just the value of good people. And that truth really started to shine through especially as we transitioned from working on the productivity module to the quality module. And what we realized is that the technicians who had the highest quality also tended to be the technicians who had the highest productivity. And it even continued into the instrument analytics module, where we really see the value that techs bring by their efforts to find and replace missing instruments to make sure that the OR is getting things in exactly the way that they need to take the best care of their patients. And so I think that has been the biggest takeaway for me, is just, you know, being able to help SPD managers show the value of their techs. It's something that's been a struggle in sterile processing for a long time. A lot of times these people are making minimum wage and they're working, you know, in an area that a lot of people in the hospital don't even understand. And so to be able to recognize them and to give them credit for the amazing value that they bring to the hospital, that's been something I've taken forward.
So obviously the point of better data, beyond telling a story, being able to act on that story and make crucial decisions around, you know, hospital operations, let's say staffing, general, you know, efficiency judgment calls, now downstream from that better data picture. So I want to talk about the impact here, right? A good dashboard, a good set of analytics in sterile processing departments is meant to drive impact. You mentioned, you know, for example, this data, right, being able to drive major efficiencies in operations. One example I have notes on here are hospital cutting incomplete trays from 14% to 9% in just 1 month, 30 days. That's a pretty significant percentage drop. I mean, most people know to even go down 1% on anything, it takes a bit of work. And that's a significant improvement there. All by just posting a daily statistic and helping people move forward day in and day out off of a good dashboard and good numbers. Can you tell us a little bit more about the story behind that? How is it possible that there was such an efficiency improvement off of such a simple strategic change, right? Just better visibility of some stats.
So for this hospital, this was a really critical thing for them to try and reduce. So it came from the OR initially, and nurses saying, you know, we need to get this improved. And that, you know, of course, led into, you know, the SPD leadership, who then, you know, talked about what should we do in order to try and improve this. And they decided to post this stat in a very visible place within sterile processing. And it's part of something that is, you know, checked in every huddle and meeting between the OR and the SPD, so that they really paid very close attention to this metric. And they still do. Like, this is one of their primary metrics that they continue to monitor over the each week and each month. So it's something that was a very important initiative for their team. And so everyone kind of bought into it, right? And when you have everyone who, you know, knows this is the target we need to get to. And it often helps whenever, you know, the OR provides reasons for, you know, this is why it matters. The more you can explain the why behind a metric and why it matters to try and hit something, the more you can buy in your whole team to that goal. I think the more successful you're likely to be at achieving that target. But yeah, at the beginning here, it just started with posting that number within the department. And, you know, I think it shows the impact of, you know, the visibility of having having that visibility into the number, people taking ownership of it, and staff really buying into it. That when you have all of those ingredients, then you can really start to do amazing things in your department. But I think, you know, that I had written about that particular example on the Beyond Clean data expert post that I have been doing over the last few months. And one thing I didn't have space to kind of follow up on in that particular post is just the value of importance of sustaining that improvement, because there's a well-known scientific phenomenon called the observer effect, which in this context, it means, you know, people tend to behave differently when they know that they are being measured. And so if this hospital had just posted this number for 1 month and achieved this amazing improvement and then said, great, we're done, you know, we never have to worry about this again, there's a good chance that that would have fallen off, because with the observer effect, you know, after a time it starts to wear off and people go back to their old habits that they had, and you know, things go back to the way they were. And so it's really important for them to keep monitoring this metric over time so that they make sure that they don't go backwards here. And that's one thing I didn't get to cover on that one.
Now, what would you say that example, you know, really reflects about how data ties in to visibility, ownership, and staff engagement, right? How all of those metrics also complement each mm-hmm. other, right? Improved ownership leads to improved staff engagement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's also an interconnected web and how you see it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was not just a one team effort, although it was, you know, primarily shown there within the work that the SPD did. But, you know, you had the driving force from the OR. You had a commitment to improving that metric from your SPD management and staff. And then, you know, to be able to have that visibility so you understand where you stand, you know, that those solid daily management principles to be able to see, am I good on this right now, or am I not? And that, you know, being able to monitor something as close to real time as possible, it's really going to help you see, you know, what is it that's driving the good and the bad, because then you need to know if I'm getting better on this metric, what am I doing that's making it better? If I'm getting worse on this metric, how can I reverse that trend and start to go in the right direction? So I think just, you know, it was a team effort by all of those players, and they've sustained it, which is amazing.
All right. Thank you so much for all the good storytelling there and helping us see why, again, it's so important to have quality data, but even more importantly, you know, the ecosystem to present and act on and make sense of that data. So like you said, let the human element, the good people on the team really shine. At the end of the day, data is another tool, and it should be there to support smart people doing difficult projects and having to lean on their gut instinct and their intuition, right? So now I want to wrap things up by kind of going back into an eagle eye view, high level crystal ball moments here. We're going to look forward a little bit. Where is this ecosystem in this field of sterile processing department data and analytics and strategy, where's all of that going over the next few years? Like, what trends are you seeing in AI that are most relevant? What about predictive analytics? Maybe specific smarter SPD tools that are on your radar? What's kind of what's piquing your interest?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you've said, you know, AI, you know, it's been the hot topic for a while now. And in healthcare, it's really no exception. So one thing the large language models like ChatGPT are really good at is taking in a lot of text and summarizing what that text says. And I see a parallel trend going on with data where some of these new AI tools, they're able to look at your data and build charts and graphs for you for that data. So you ask it to, you know, build me a chart that, you know, contains this, and it does it for you. And that, you know, helps to, in a few ways. There's not as much data expertise within the sterile processing department as, you know, maybe in some other fields. It's not as natural for people to have that data savvy. And so being able to have a tool that's able to help you create charts and graphs is going to, you know, really help people to start to understand better how they can communicate with data. And some of these tools can even like take a, if you send, you give it a picture of a chart or a graph, and it can help you interpret what that chart or graph says, which, you know, it helps for those hospitals, especially who don't have their own internal data team. And many of the smaller ones do not. Some of the large, you know, teaching hospitals are fortunate to have their own internal data team that can help them with things. But, you know, for those smaller hospitals to have a tool that, you know, they can send it a picture of a chart or graph and say, what is this trying to tell me? You know, that's really going to help our users to better understand how they can make use of data within their roles in the right ways, because there's good ways to use data, there's bad ways to use data. And hopefully, you know, with some of these tools, helping them to learn how to interpret data, that will just build that muscle and get better at it.
Well, look, per usual, all these improvements to the extra layer of, you know, analytics support, especially with AI, should have hopefully helped people suss out that story and intuit a little better, right? As the AI does some of that preliminary work for them of telling the story, right? But I'm curious, you know, if you had to speculate 5 years, let's say, into the future, how do you think data is going to continue to help shape patient safety and workflow improvement, especially in this sterile processing department context? Peer into that crystal ball for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you see the increase in data literacy skills, I mean, we saw this with computers too, right? When computers first came out, the people already in the workforce, it was a task, right, to try and learn how to incorporate computers into their everyday work. And data has been, you know, the same kind of way. So, you know, as people practice more with putting data into their workflow, I think we'll see improved metrics as people are better able to connect that intuition with the data and be able to create metrics that really, really reflect really well the work that they're doing actually within the department. And then, you know, that should bring an increased reliance on data as those metrics better connect with the workflow. People are really seeing, you know, how they can, you know, change their work in order to improve. And then I think, you know, AI models, especially some of the computer vision ones, I think those can really help streamline some of the workflow in SPD. Because the barrier to that is no longer really a technology. The barrier is legal departments who are being very, very cautious, rightfully, about protecting patient data. And so I think as the value of those models becomes more clear to hospitals and they can really, you know, see how those will help improve things, I think they will find ways to overcome the privacy issues and you know, find safeguards that allow them to use the models while they also safeguard patient data.
All right, Beth, thank you for all your insights on the podcast today. This has been really great. I think our audience can walk away from this with a better sense of how data, regardless of environment, can be put to use when supported with the right dashboards, analytics, right? And cleaned up and presented in the right way, how they can support major efficiencies, especially in an SP environment. I want to wrap things up with a bit of a lightning round here. So we're looking for short answers. We'll keep it punchy. I don't know. The editors can put up the timer and a little ding bell here for every question and answer. Okay, so let it jump in. I'm going to ask the question. First thing that comes to mind, go ahead and rip on for a second. We'll jump to the next one. Okay, so first question. What's one metric you think more SPD teams should be tracking? Go.
Average instruments per set, because the more instruments you have in each set, the longer it's going to take to assemble those, and hands-on time is just, it's linear with that. So keep your set small. Stuff will go out faster.
I like it. I like it. All right, next question. What's one sterile processing myth that's been exposed by the data lately you think everyone has to know about?
Yeah, you do not have to sacrifice productivity to improve your quality. That is something that, you know, we went into the project assuming that those were mortal enemies, and that is just not the case.
They're actually shaking hands in the background. Yeah, they cut a deal. Yeah. All right. Final question. What is one piece of final advice for teams that are trying to connect their experience with the numbers? Where do you start? How do you cut through the noise?
Good question. Start with a simple process. Identify the data that gets recorded every time you do that process so you can establish your baseline, because you need to know where you're at today. And then just practice monitoring that metric for a few weeks until you can see how your performance is changing. See if that aligns with your intuition of how you think things are going. If not, is it because you need to tweak the metric, or is it because you need to change your perspective? And then when you're ready to try and improve a process, don't change too much all at once. Roll out changes separately, because that's going to give you the power to identify which ones are having the most impact on your metric.
I love it. And I think on that note, we can wrap things up. Beth, Harry, thank you so much. This has been such a powerful conversation. I feel like you've really given us that new lens on what it means to be data-driven in a meaningful and a practical way. So again, folks, we have been chatting with Ms. Beth Perry. She is Business Intelligence and Analytics Engineer at Census Technologies. And Beth, if folks want to tap into more of your expertise, where can we point them?
Well, I do have a LinkedIn profile. You can find me there, or you can contact me at my Census email.
Easy enough. All right, Beth Perry, thank you so much for your time today on the Consensus Podcast. It's been a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to future episodes with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dan.
Absolutely, Beth. Thank you again. And thank you to our listeners for joining in on another episode of the Consensus Podcast. It's been a pleasure being in the hot seat with the Census team today. I'm looking forward to more episodes. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify. For more insights, make sure you visit census.com. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast for previous episodes, as well as updates when we drop fresh ones. And until next time, stay safe, stay curious, and keep leading with data. I'm Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B. Catch you on the next one.